are now listening to an inspirational message from the Greater Shallow Missionary Baptist Church, where Dr. Michael Wesley Sr. is pastor. Please join the service in progress.
know that God made us, made me who I am, no matter how it is. And he didn't make a mistake when he made me. He knew what he was doing. He made us just the way he wanted us to be. He put us in the earth at just the right time. I'm grateful for the season that he has given. I've been born at another season in human history. I might not have functioned well, but for this season, God made me just who I am. Amen. I'm excited about what the Lord has got for us this morning. So I want to invite you to join me now in a time of prayer. Lord, we thank you for making us and making us who we are. Thank you for loving us and blessing us and keeping us. Thank you for this worship experience today, for the songs, the scriptures, the prayers, for the children, the youth, for the fellowship together of the family of faith. Now I pray again that you would lift your human out of self. Fill us with the Holy Spirit. Speak to us and through us in this moment. And bless the words that are in our mouth and the meditations that are on our heart, that it may be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, with you there is a word. Without you there is no word. Bless now the truth as you would give it. In Jesus' name, amen. I would have wanted to divide this into two messages, but because of the season and the way that I want to try to do it, I'm going to try to do all of this in one message. So it's a little lengthier passage that I normally would want to address. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27, and the text is verses 11 through 26. Normally, I would have divided that up into two portions, but because of what the context is and what I want to address today, I'm going to try to get it all in. And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou sayest it." And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, "Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee?" And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto him, "Will thou that you release that I release unto you Barabbas, or Jesus, which is called Christ?" For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, "Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, "Whether are the twain will ye that I release unto you?" They said, "Barabbas." Pilate said unto him, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" They all say unto him, "Let him be crucified." And the governor said, "Why? What evil hath he done?" But they cried out the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I'm innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it." Then answered all the people and said, "His blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. This is the word of God for the people of God. The sermonic spotlight focus is on the 22nd verse. What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called Christ? I want to preach from that subject. What shall I do with Jesus? What shall I do with Jesus? We can look at it another way. We can call this the countdown to Calvary. Because the clock is ticking and Jesus is on his way to the cross. And what shall I do with Jesus? Pilate asked the question in the middle of the Jewish, or should I say the Roman trial of Jesus. But it's a question that every human being on the face of the earth must answer for themselves. What shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ? You get it wrong, you messed up. You get it right, you can have eternal life. It is such a pivotal question, it is inescapable. No matter how knowledgeable we may be, or no matter how weak our knowledge may be of the context of all that's here, the truth is, you cannot escape Jesus Christ. The scripture declares that he is the Son of God, that he is God. John said it, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Matthew said it. The scriptures record it. His name should be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. So the scripture made it clear who he is. He's the one who possesses the name of God. In the book of Acts, he's called the Holy One. And the Holy One was a title given in the Old Testament to God. And Jesus bears the title of Son of God, Holy One. He is God. He is known to be the forgiver of sins. He's known to be the creator of the world. He's known to be omnipresent. He's every place at the same time. He's immutable. He does not change. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Jesus is the Savior of the world. He is the divine Son of God. So he cannot be escaped. Everyone must deal with this question. What shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ? And that's what I want to bring to your attention. Nothing about this narrative that changes that. He was fully human, but he was fully God. In his fully divine nature, we've already enumerated some of the scriptural passages that describe him. But he was also 100% human. How you know he was human? He was born. And while he lived on the earth, he hungered and he thirsted and he wept and he loved and he cared. And because he had all of those human attributes, he was fully human. But at the same time, he was 100% God. And you can't escape that. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. All things were made by him, And without him, there was not anything made that was made. So we ought to want to bring this to the context and ask, why in the world would a Roman governor be asking this question, what shall I do then with Jesus, who is called Christ? Well, you would know that for 3 years he had been on a teaching crusade, a ministry. Once he was baptized in the Jordan River, and heaven opened up, and God identified him, saying, "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." He began to preach, and he began to teach, and he began to declare that he was the Son of God. And by the miracles and the power that he had, he began to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt as to who he was. He healed sick. He raised dead. He gave people limbs back. He put eye sockets in people's eyes who couldn't see. He unstopped ears of those who had never heard. He did everything that the word said he would do. But then it all began to come to a close. The countdown began to happen when he came riding triumphantly into Jerusalem on what we know as Palm Sunday. He came riding to the shouts of people saying, "Hosanna, blessed is he who cometh in the name of the Lord." People spread their coats and their garments and they waved palm branches. The religious leaders were jealous. They didn't like it. They said, "Who is this?" And somebody said, "It's Jesus of Nazareth." And the Pharisees said, "Well, make them shut up." And Jesus said, "If these don't cry, I'll make the very rocks cry." And the testimony went on that he came back into Jerusalem on Monday and he cleansed the temple. He overturned the tables of the money changers. He taught in the temple courts. And Wednesday, he did another thing. And then Thursday, he came back one more time. And Thursday, after all of the activities and festivities were done, he made preparation to eat the Passover for the last time with his disciples in a bar or upper room. And having dinner been served, he put a towel around his waist and dropped down and began to wash his disciples' feet. Then he shocked the house and said, "One of you are going to betray me." And they began to look at each other and say, "Is it I? Is it I? Is it I?" And after communion had been served, the Lord's Supper had been instituted, he sent Judas out. Judas went to the religious leaders to betray him. And Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane. And he fell on his face and he prayed so hard that the Bible says it was as if great drops of blood came from him, thinking about the death that was before him. But he got up off of his knees resolutely somewhere about midnight. And about that time, here come Judas and about 600 soldiers to pick him up in the garden. And they carried him to what was known as the Jewish trials. They take him first to Annas. Annas was the high priest behind the scene. And they expected him to find a reason to indict him or to charge him. But after being examined by Annas for a while, they could find nothing. Then they take him to Caiaphas. Caiaphas was the reigning high priest, but he was a puppet, and he didn't know anything, and he couldn't do anything. And they couldn't find anything. They tried him, and they asked him, "Are you a king? Are you the Son of God?" And Jesus said, "You said it." And they said, "What need we of further witnesses?" They tore their coat. They said, "He's accused of blasphemy, so he must die because he makes himself be the Son of God." But they could not do anything, so they had him bound for a couple more hours. The Jewish trials were illegal because they were like 2-3 o'clock in the morning. And they held him until about 5 o'clock in the morning. And then they carried him assembled with all of the Sanhedrin council to have an official Jewish trial. And in that last Jewish trial, they came up with the accusations. They decided that he got to die. And because they had decided that he's got to die, they knew that they couldn't kill him. So they had to take him to the Roman court, to the Roman governor, whose name was Pontius Pilate. Pontius Pilate had been appointed by the Romans to oversee Jerusalem and the area that he was responsible for. And when Pilate, they brought Jesus to Pilate about 5 o'clock in the morning, having been mistreated by them in their evil ways, spitting on him and slapping him and saying, if you're such a prophet, tell us who hit you. And all of that kind of craziness going on. But Matthew was always very clear to make sure that we see the glory of God in all of it. That no matter how they treated him, the glory of God still shone. Even when they spit on him, even when they talked about him, the glory of God just manifested himself. So they bring him tied up to Pilate, 5 o'clock in the morning. Pilate did not, the Jews would not go into the judgment hall of Pilate, because to go into the house of a Gentile would defile them for the upcoming Passover. So since they wasn't going to come into Pilate, Pilate comes out on the balcony to them. And he set up judgment hall there. And he said, what charge do you have? You're bringing a man to me? What's wrong? And here's the first thing I want to tell you. This was the accusation of the Jews. Say accusation. I'm going to give you 5 A-words today. Accusation of the Jews. And they accused him. They said, well, if he wasn't a criminal, we wouldn't have brought him to you. Say, he's listen carefully, he's an insurrectionist. He's stirring up the people. He's leading people to go against Rome. He's telling people they shouldn't pay taxes to Caesar. They're making up stuff. In the Jewish trial, they said he was guilty of blasphemy, making himself equal to God, which he was, so he really wasn't guilty. But when they come to Pilate, they can't bring a Jewish charge to the Romans. So they have to come up with something to try to make it seem that it's a crime against Rome. So they said he's an insurrectionist. He's leading people. He's calling people not to pay taxes, and he himself don't pay taxes to Caesar. And then they said, and he say he a king. And if he a king, then he's a threat to Rome, because he makes himself be of another government. And that was the accusation, even though it was a lie. It's amazing how people have sought when jealousy set in. When people can't stand the good that's being done. When people can't stand the power or understand where the power come from or how to access the power themselves. They'll manufacture stuff. Listen, they did it on him, and guess what? They'll do it to you. Oh, yeah, they will. I know you Holy Ghost filled and fire baptized, but folk will lie on you. They'll lie in your face. They'll lie behind your back. They'll make up stuff. Yes, they will. On your job, they'll do it. In your family, they'll do it. In the church, they'll do it. Wherever you go, they'll do it, because sometimes they can't handle who you are. And they couldn't handle who Jesus is. And because they couldn't handle who he was, they accused him falsely. And so Pilate said, I'll tell you what, y'all stay out here. I'm going to go back in here and examine the prisoner that you brought. And he goes back into Jesus, and you got to be able to piece these passages together. Matthew doesn't give us the whole story, so you got to defer to Luke 23 and John 19 to put it all together. So when Pilate goes back into Jesus, he said, they say you a king. Are you a king? Jesus said, you said it. Yeah, are you saying it of yourself? Or are you saying it just to be a repeater of what somebody else has said? Do you understand? He said, but my kingdom is not of this world. And Pilate comes out now. This is what he does. After examining Jesus, he comes back out to the Jewish people who are outside. And he comes back on the porch and he said, I've examined him and I find no fault. See, that was an official verdict. That's the same language that's used. How do you find, ladies and gentlemen of the jury? And they come back out. The jury has found this person innocent or this person guilty. It was an official trial. This was the beginning of the Roman trial. And just as the Jewish trial had three faces to it, the Roman trial has three faces to it. So Pilate issues the verdict in phase one. I find no fault in him. And then as the people were shouting at Pilate, the religious leaders were shouting at him. He's an insurrectionist. He's been gathering people from Galilee all the way down to here. Now, when Pilate heard them say Galilee, an idea popped in his mind. He said, oh, he from Galilee, is he? He said, Herod is in town. And he said, I know what I'll do. He said, I don't want to deal with this because I don't see no reason for him to have to die. So I'm going to send him to Herod. And so he sends him to Herod. Herod was glad to see Jesus. He had heard about Jesus and was hoping to see a miracle from him. But when Jesus came, Herod looked at him expecting to be entertained. And he began to question Jesus. Now, here's the second thing I want to talk about. I want you to see the attitude of Jesus. See, you heard the accusations against him. Now they took him, and Pilate has already found him not guilty. And so he goes to Herod, and Herod is asking him questions, and Jesus is looking at him. He opened not his mouth. He didn't say a word. Y'all, that is something incredible about Jesus. You know, when you know who you are, when you know whose you are, you don't always have to say. You don't always have to get people straight. You don't always have to get people told. Sometimes you can let people think you are a fool. You know, I love doing that sometimes. I love looking at people. I don't have to always open my mouth. I know who I am. I know whose I am. I know from whence I came, and I know who sent me here to do what he sent me here to do. So it's not always what I have to say. I let you say. And so Jesus let Pilate say it. When Pilate got through, Pilate said, this ain't no criminal. This is a joke. Pilate laughed. You look there because his face was puffy. They had beat him. They had spit on him and all. So Pilate and Herod and his soldiers began to make fun of Jesus. And they decided, well, we don't find no fault in him. Send him back to Pilate. That's two phases. Now, look at this. Let the record stand. Pilate found him not guilty, no fault. Herod found no fault. And now he comes back to Pilate again for the third phase of the Jewish or the Roman trial. Now, when he comes back to Pilate this time, first it had been the Jewish leaders, but now it's about 6 o'clock in the morning, and the people in Jerusalem are stirring. The crowds are moving. So he decides. Pilate does that now the people are coming around. So it's no longer just the Jewish leaders, but it's the Jewish leaders and the people of Jerusalem that's now involved. And Pilate comes back out on the balcony and he said, what has he done? What evil has he done? And they begin to shout, and Pilate comes up with another scheme. See, because the people are there now. He knew that Jesus was popular among the people. He knew that Jesus had healed the sick. He knew that Jesus had raised the dead. He had stopped funeral processions. He had fed the multitudes. And so the crowd would have been sympathetic toward Jesus. And so the Jewish leaders were already angry, and with envy they had brought Jesus to Pilate. And Pilate knew that. And so what his plan was now is to pit the people against the leaders. So he was going to bring Jesus and said, look, we got a custom at this season that we can release one of the prisoners. We got Jesus or Barabbas. But before he could really push his plan, here comes the third thing. See, Jesus saying nothing. The Jewish leaders had been accusing him. Pilate has found him not guilty. Herod has found him not guilty. But before Jesus, Pilate could execute his next phase of his plan, he got a message from his wife. See, now, you have to pay attention when your family call you. But there are times when you wish they wouldn't. And I'm sure Pilate was probably saying, babe, I'm on the judgment seat right now. Can that wait a little bit? But it was a divine interruption. It was a divine interruption. He got the people out there. He's ready to execute his plan, but he get a messenger from his wife. And so that's number three right there. What I want to tell you about is the uncomfortableness, should I say, of the wife. She was not comfortable with Pilate having to deal with Jesus. And so he turns aside and he goes to hear what the message is. And the message from the wife is, don't have nothing to do. Listen to what she says. That what? That righteous man. Oh, man, God, y'all missing it. I'm preaching fast. I know I'm preaching fast. Don't have nothing to do with that righteous man. Pilate, a pagan, has said, not guilty. Herod, another pagan, has said, not guilty. Here is the wife, who doesn't know anything. Well, she probably knew who Jesus was because I'm sure her and her husband had talked about it. Because you got to know, the night before when they sent soldiers to get Jesus, they had to get permission from Pilate in order to send the soldiers. And so they probably had been talking, but God will mess with you. God will bring something upon you. He brought a dream on that girl. He stirred up in her conscience. He stirred up in her mind. And he wouldn't let her rest. And so she told her husband, don't have nothing to do with that righteous man. Now, I'm going to come back to that now. Pilate gets the message and he comes back. Meanwhile, because of that interruption, the Jewish leaders have gotten a chance to work on the crowd. And they turned on the crowd and they said, look, instead of when he asked, do you want Jesus or Barabbas, say Barabbas. When they asked, do you want Jesus to go free, tell him, no, we want Jesus to be what? Crucified. You see, man, people are can be fickle. They came one way, but because of that divine interruption, I mean, I know it was a divine interruption. It was because it's by the predetermined counsel of God that Jesus should die on the cross. And because God intended for him to die, then Jesus had to die. And he came into the world to die, and he understood that. But during that interruption, it gave the religious leaders a chance to work with the crowd. So now I want you to see the animosity of the crowd. Can you see the animosity of the crowd? Pilate said, who would you have me release? Barabbas, a noted criminal. He was a bandit. He was a murderer. He was somebody that the Jewish people were afraid of, because he had hurt some of their family members. He had robbed. He had done a lot of other things. And they all knew that he would be a terrorist to be released on the streets. But do you want Barabbas or do you want Christ? And you know what the religious leaders had persuaded the people to say. Give us Barabbas. Man, I don't want to go there. I don't want to go there. But the the nation is poised. Do you want Jesus? Or do you want Trump? Jesus or Barabbas? But the animosity, do you hear me? The foolishness that's in the religious leaders and the way they are persuading the people. Turn the people from the one who had done so much for them. The one who had blessed their lives and had given them what they need and had come through time and time again. And they turn their backs on him. And they say, give us Barabbas. Now, Pilate is blown, man, because his scheme. Now, look at both his schemes. Pilate just wanted to get rid of Jesus. And he first thought that he could get rid of him by sending him to Herod. And Herod sent him back. And now he thought that he could play the people against the leaders, put Jesus up against Barabbas, and the people would naturally want Jesus. But the leaders had persuaded the people, and the animosity of the people cried, give us Barabbas. And then Pilate raises the question, well, what then shall I do with Jesus? And look at how he distinguishes the difference between him who is called Christ. Making you understand that he's not a criminal like this other man is. He has not been charged like this other man is. He doesn't bring the baggage like this other man does. But he is called Christ. Meaning that he is the anointed of God. Meaning that he is the divine one from God. And it ought to be clear as to who the choice is for your life. But I submit unto you today that Pilate's question was a deeper question than just that occurred that day in the trial. Because it is now a question that's dumped into every one of our lap. What shall I do with Jesus? Who is called Christ? And so you could be like Pilate. Pilate was confused. His plan had been blown. Now he goes back and he hears again the message from his wife. And she's telling him, look, man, don't have nothing to do with this righteous man. I've suffered today many things. Has God ever stirred in your heart? Has God ever shown you the difference? You know, when everybody else might be up to something and everybody else might be talking, but God will reveal to you, hey, look, don't get into that. Don't bother that. That's not of me. Don't you dare. If you get in that, you're going to mess yourself up. If you get in that conversation, you get in that gossip, you start stirring in that stink, it's going to be all over you. God will show it to you. Most of the time, we don't want to hear it. And so we ignore it. But Pilate, I think, listen. Because one thing about it, if you've been married for any length of time, you got to know that the significant other is not going to tell you a whole lot of stuff. And especially a whole lot of stuff that's wrong. And there were times, man, maybe she didn't say much at all. But for her, on this occasion, to send him such an urgent message was enough to trouble him. And so it was the apprehension of the wife who held Pilate into check. So Pilate said, oh, well, I can't turn him loose now. Because if I turn him loose, then there's going to be an uproar among the people. The leaders are going to continue to stir him up, the folk. If I send him to be crucified, then I'm going to be in trouble. See, Pilate had been in trouble before. He had been in trouble when he first came governor. He came riding into Jerusalem, and he had his soldiers had flagpoles and spears, and on the top of the flagpoles were images of Caesar. And the Jewish people protested, said, look, this, we are religious people, and that's idolatry. Take those images of Caesar down. And a riot broke out, and Pilate was in trouble. Then another occasion when Pilate came with his soldiers again, they had their shields, their Roman shields, and all of their shields had Caesar's image on it. And the Jewish leaders said, Pilate, get those shields changed out. And Pilate said, oh no, we're Rome. But they sent to Tiberius Caesar and protested against Pilate. And the Tiberius Caesar said to Pilate, you got one more time to mess up. Pilate still messed up. He took money from the Jewish treasurer and he built aqueducts to allow a water system to flow through Jerusalem. So he was already in trouble with the Jewish leaders. And the last thing he needed was another mess up. So he's saying, what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ? He knew that if he did the wrong thing, then Rome was going to come. And he would lose his life and maybe his job and everything else. And so he raises the question, what shall I do then with Jesus, who is called Christ? Now, troubled by his wife's apprehension, Pilate comes up with one more thing. And he goes and he gets a big bowl of water. It was an Old Testament Jewish custom where if a person had committed murder and the Jewish leaders had sought for the murderer and they could not find the murderer, they could take a big bowl of water and they could come before the people and said, look, I've done my best. But I could not find who was responsible, so I'm going to wash my hands of this to demonstrate that I am innocent and their blood is not on me. So Pilate brings out a bowl before the Jewish leaders and he washes himself, washes his hand, because he wants them to understand that I'm innocent of this man's blood. He said, I'll tell you what I'll do one more time. He said, I'll scourge him, and then I'll let him go. Why even scourge him? Because he wants to please the Jewish people, the Jewish leaders, because he doesn't want them to tell Rome on him. And so he decides that I need to be innocent, but I don't also want to get myself in trouble. And he washes his hands in public, and he goes back. And then lastly comes the acquiescence of the governor. He gives in to them because he couldn't persuade them. The more he said, what's wrong with him? What has he had done? Listen, the verdict of the world, he was not guilty. The verdict of Pilate, he was not guilty. The verdict of Herod, he was not guilty. The verdict of Pilate's wife, he was a righteous man. Everybody knows Jesus is innocent. Pilate even washes his hand as an outward sign to say, I'm innocent of this man's blood. But yet, now I want to give him a little credit. Can I give him a little credit? He at least tried. He tried to get Jesus off of his hand. He did send him to Herod. He did tell them, look, I got you a choice here. You could have Jesus or Barabbas. I'll tell you what, I'll beat him up. I'll let him be whipped. I'll let him be whipped until blood is everywhere. I'll let him be whipped until his veins pop out. I'll let him be whipped until he's so bruised and battered that you won't recognize him. At least he tried, didn't he? But that wasn't enough. Because he still made the wrong decision. He gave in to the demands of the people. Let him be crucified. Let him be crucified was what the people declared. And guess what? That was the wrong decision. Now, Pilate would have wanted to help. He wished that Jesus would have been guilty. If he could have found anything, then he could have executed Jesus and had clear conscience. If Herod wished that Jesus had been guilty. Because if he had found anything,
He could have executed him, and his conscience would have been guilty. The religious leaders wish that they could have had a real charge against Jesus, because if they had, then their conscience would have been guilty. But you know what they said? They said to Pilate, said, "Don't you worry. I know you're washing your hands, but his blood be on us and on our children." Can I tell you that the Jewish leaders rejected Jesus, and now the blood of that rejection is still on the nation of Israel? You wonder why they have gone through century after century after century of difficulty and all, because when God sent his son and the question was raised, what must I do with Jesus who is called Christ? They rejected him. It was the wrong decision. Let me tell you the rest of Pilate's story and I'll be out your way. Because Pilate acquiesced and gave in and told him, I tell you what, take him and let him be crucified. And they took Jesus and he was crucified. But Pilate was banished from Jerusalem and he went to Gaul. And in Gaul, he committed suicide because he just couldn't handle what he had done with Jesus. Judas went out and hung himself because he couldn't handle what he had done with Jesus. The Jewish people, all of these centuries, are still suffering because they could not handle what they did with Jesus. And may I say to you today that you have a choice. See, it really wasn't that Jesus was on trial. The truth was, they were on trial. And the truth is, you are on trial. And every day when you get out of your bed, you got a choice. You got to deal with the question, what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ? You can hate him. You can try to get rid of him, but he's not going nowhere. You can reject him. You can beat him. You can try to kill him. No matter what you do, your eternal future is all wrapped up in what you will do with Jesus, who is called Christ. I tell you what I do. I accept him. I make him my Lord. I make him my personal Savior. I make him my friend. I make him my confidant. I make him the one that I talk to when my heart is troubled. I make him my wonderful counselor that I go to when I don't have the answers to my problems. I make him the secret source that I seek out when I need a friend. I make him my Lord when I need a Savior. I make him my forgiver when I need forgiveness. Make him my comforter when my heart is troubled. There's nobody like Jesus. Nobody like the Lord. Nobody like Jesus. Nobody like the Lord. The question is, what shall not Pastor, not Pilate, not the Pharisees, not the religious leaders, not the people, but what shall, put your hand on your chest, what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ? Your eternal future all rests on your answer and what you do as a result. You're not too young. You're not too old to make a decision today as to what you should do with Jesus who is Christ. Doors of the church open. Doors open. Somebody might be here today. Somebody might be here. Somebody might want to make that choice. Somebody might want to step out. Forget what the crowd said. Push him aside. Reject him. Crucify him. Get rid of him. Oh, you got to make up that decision. You got to say, I want him. I want him in my heart. I want him in my life. I want him to lead me, guide me, and direct me. Whatever your decision, this is your moment. Doors open. While I'm the same, doors of the church. Jesus, who is called Christ. Don't leave this room
without making that decision in your own heart, in your own mind, and your struggle will be over for what you're going to experience, your eternal life, and how you're going to live your remaining days on the earth in service for the Lord himself. Love all of you. Join us again next week right here for Resurrection Celebration. We know what happened to Jesus. He went to the cross. But come back next week and we'll see the rest of the story.
Hope you enjoyed the broadcast. You have been listening to a message from the Greater Shallow Missionary Baptist Church, where we are reaching the world for Christ, located at 2135 Jefferson Avenue Southwest, Birmingham, Alabama 35211. For a copy of a CD or DVD, you can reach us at 205-925-5972 or visit us on the web at www.greatershallow.org. For an uplifting message, please join us for the next broadcast.